Hello and welcome to another Connecting Consciousness podcast. It's the 12th and we're very hopeful this will go out over the weekend, Saturday or Sunday, not sure which. Needed to do this because of the situation with the virus, and I particularly wanted to address some of the issues that are surfacing on social media, the alternative media, and indeed is a debate amongst some of Connecting Consciousness members. I have received, as a number of us have, some information, some of it which I'm very happy to share with you, and some of it which I'm absolutely not going to share with you, not because I don't think you can handle it, but because I've been told that if I am to share certain parts with you, I'll never get any more information from this source. That's very difficult, puts me in a very difficult position, because I've always believed in giving as much information, but I have to strike a balance. If I do that, then this particular source won't give me any more, and they'll have a big hole in the radar, if you like, and we won't get any more. So I'll go as close as I can, I'll give as much as I can without jeopardizing that source of information. All right, so there's a lot of debate that this is not a difficult disease, this virus. This is just a bad flu, and that it will just run its course and that's it. There's another view coming from what I call some of the New Ages, which is this is all about fear, and that it's just a project fear, and you know, it's nothing, just don't worry about it, it's just to make you fearful. And there are others saying this is just purely a 5G thing, and others saying that this virus is not contagious, that it's just if you think about it you'll catch it, but if you don't you won't. So there's a whole range of opinions and views out there, and I really needed to tell you what as much as I can and what I know. The virus most definitely is not an ordinary flu. It is a biological weapon which was designed in Wuhan, in the biological laboratory based there, where they definitely worked on SARS. Definitely working on what we call the COVID-19 and other nasty bugs as well. This facility had a strong interest from elements from America, and also the World Health Organization had a stake in it. When I say a stake, I don't mean a money stake, I mean an interest stake. And you might be surprised to wonder why the World Health Organization would be interested in a biological weapons laboratory. Those of you who listen to my show and other shows, you're not surprised at all, but for the vast majority of people who unfortunately are not yet at the level of consciousness that you guys are, they would be totally shocked to learn that an organization that is supposed to look after the health of the planet is actually quite involved in a weapons laboratory. But I can go as far as to tell you is that this virus, which was designed as a biological weapon, was released from this laboratory unwittingly. And I can go a little way as to as to how it played out, how it worked. A person who worked at the laboratory was offered a great deal of money for this virus, and it was a man, and he went out and he said he would meet these individuals in the marketplace in Wuhan, simply because he wanted to be in an open space where there was lots of other people, and if things went wrong he could easily disappear into the crowd. So this meeting took place. He had a glass vial about 4 inches long with the culture in it, and he was trying to agree a price with this individual. I haven't got the ins and outs as to quite what happened, but we understand that a price was not agreed, but the agent, the individual who was trying to buy this bioweapon, then shot and killed the employee from this laboratory. And we've got two versions. One version is that as he fell, the guy fell, the vial was underneath him and smashed. The other version I've got from a witness is that when he fell, it fell out of his hand and hit the stone floor and smashed. Either way, the glass vial smashed and the virus was released. So the Chinese authorities are correct to say that it started in the marketplace. Yes, it did. But it, I can absolutely categorically tell you that it is not because somebody ate an animal that was infected with this. This is a biological weapon that was supposed to be secure in this facility and was brought out without authorization. The Chinese government know the full story, and that is why you see these great huge machines driving down streets, shooting chemical sprays into the air like some crazy fountain, and why so many other countries are taking these very, very stiff measures. You don't do that for the flu. You don't do it for even for a nasty strain of flu. And we had the foot and mouth in this country in about the year 2000, I think. We've had other things, but nobody's reacted like this. And let's look at how countries have reacted. So tonight, this is the 12th, Southern Ireland, the Taoiseach, the Prime Minister, has put all of Southern Ireland into a lockdown. That's one. In Denmark, they are looking at forcibly vaccinating everybody, although there's no vaccine at the moment officially. Some very draconian measures in Denmark, and that's odd because that's such a generally open and calm country. In Great Britain, where anybody who pays a mortgage has been given a three-month holiday, don't have to pay the mortgage for 3 months. 1 month free mortgage holiday in the United States. America has banned all airplane flights from Europe into America, except from Great Britain. That's quite interesting. You can't go on holiday to America now, unless you are an American person, a national citizen returning back to the US. Anybody else is banned now. Situation in Italy, where the government has taken the unprecedented step of closing every shop in the whole country except for supermarkets and for pharmacies or chemist shops. So can you conceive of that, where you walk down a high street and every shop is closed except the chemist and the supermarket, and all those employees have been sent home? You've got a situation where airlines have been given a free rein, really, until the president made his statement, because no government wants to run down its civilian airline fleet. I mean, that just makes total billions of pounds or dollars. And they were the last ones to be controlled, but they are now under that situation. So we have a very, I use the word quite loosely actually, we have a draconian response, which is variable from different country to country. But that is because the handful of people in each government know they're dealing with a bioweapon. The normal death rate from flu, lots of figures are banded about, but around about 2%, sometimes 1.5, 2%. That's the average death rate from flu. Now, China, the death rate was very high and then reduced as this virus mutated. And Kerry Cassidy actually was the only other person at the time who was saying what I was saying, that we were either looking at a mutated virus or we're looking at two separate viruses. So Kerry and I both picked up through different sources that we were looking at that. One of the reasons that this is becoming obvious is the death rate. In Iran, the death is about 8%. And that's phenomenal. Now, this is a different strain of the virus. Now, whether it's being sprayed by drones or whether this is a mutated form, I can definitely tell you that this is a far stronger virus. Now, the problem is that the Italian virus has come directly from Iran, and they're fairly clear how that occurred. That is why today Italy has announced something like 1,019 deaths, something like 130 odd people died yesterday. And when you look at the percentage, it's again running at about 8%. Yet if you look at China, That's running at about 5% now. So we are looking at different strains, and this is what's caused this huge, massive change by the Italian government from having a small quarantine in parts of the cities to actually locking the whole place down. So the elite know that this is a bioweapon that's got out that wasn't supposed to have got out. That is why we're having the response. As I said some days ago, which has now been backed up by medical advice, that ultraviolet light excuse me, has a very good effect in weakening it. It doesn't like sunlight at all. And I'll ask Becky in a little while to run through some of the things that, you know, a number of people are reporting to us actually slow it down or can stop it. There's been a lot of talk about people wearing masks, saying it doesn't actually stop the spread of the virus, and I need to tell you about the masks. They are actually really important, and when your town or your city is heavily infected, you must wear one, not because it so much as prevents the virus being sprayed onto you or you doing that, but the evidence that I have received from a wide range of sources that the mass form of transmission is from touching a surface. This virus has it's been designed to live outside of a human body for as long as possible, so it's very resistant. People touching it with their hands and then touching either their mouth, particularly their mouth, or their nose, and that is how the virus is spreading. Now if you've got a mask on, and it's very difficult for people not to touch your face, it's what humans do, but if you've got the mask on, then when you bring your fingers up to your face or your, it doesn't contaminate. So the point of the mask is not to prevent breathing it in or you breathing it out. It is when you bring your fingers up to your mouth or your nose, you cannot bring that infection across. Now the elite know this, and that is why some days ago they brought out this no handshaking policy, and all the world leaders don't shake hands now. So it's not so much that someone's sneezing or coughing in front of you, although that isn't going to help, but it's because it lands on surfaces and can live there for a long time. So this washing of the hands isn't some gimmick, it actually is important, because you go out, and I really advise you to wear latex gloves or protective gloves when you're putting gas in the car, and you're going out on public transport if you have to use it. Whatever you're doing, wear gloves. And you want a bin outside your home, you just take the gloves off, put them in the bin, and you must nevertheless just get into washing your hands. This is a bioweapon. It has been specifically bred, if that's the right word, created to be as resistant as possible and to cause as much problems as possible. Don't be surprised that the two major countries now suffering are the two major countries that are seen as the pariahs in their own way of the world. One is China, who wanted to dominate the world economically, and the other is Iran, which, you know, was seen as a thorn in the side of many. Now, I'm not saying that China was deliberately targeted. Its economy is targeted. And that is the result of what will happen, but it's a very complex reason as to how we got here. So my message really is that this is not a joke. It is contagious. We are all in physical human bodies. Now there are a few yogis amongst us, I suppose, who perhaps can do a bit of yogic flying and elevate their energy to such a point that the virus doesn't actually connect with them, and that's great for them, but I think you find that 99.9% of the population aren't yet at the yogi's level of development. And if you have a organic body, then you are subject to organic diseases. That's how it works here. The trouble with this virus is it originated from a snake, and this virus specifically was done because the human mammal body has no protection against this virus. In other words, most viruses are thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of years old, but certainly the ones that connect with humanity will be hundreds of thousands of years old. And if an organism, like a human body, has never come in contact with something, it's much worse. Think about when the white settlers or the white explorers went to South America, and some of the diseases that they carried, the South American native population, it decimated them because they had no natural resilience to it. That is why the snake genetics were used, and they've been mixed with other things, of course. But the human form has never come across this, so it has no resistance to it. And in most viruses, common cold or flu, if you get it, your body remembers it. So if you get a flu at 10 years old, and then when you're 50, you get the same strain of flu, your body not only remembers it, but can go to the storehouse, and it can start producing the antibodies, and so it responds much quicker, and it's much easier to deal with. This is not the case. This, you can get this more than once. You can get the same one more than once. The difficulty is that it attacks the lungs. If you have a runny nose, you're blowing your nose, don't worry, you've got the common cold or you've got the flu. But this virus does not give you a runny nose, generally speaking. You don't have mucus. It's a dry, tickly cough, a headache, a high temperature, and then it goes to the lungs. And here's the problem, that the lungs can fill up with fluid and then you are very seriously ill, and the best way for that is oxygen. And so if you do go to hospital, you will be given pure oxygen to breathe, because the cells in your body are, you know, desperate to get oxygen. Your lungs are being shut down. So people are dying not because the virus, in terms of their understanding, it's because of what it's doing to the lungs. It's attacking the lungs. Sometimes it's a secondary infection, like a pneumonia, but actually it's the virus doing that as well. So my message to everyone is that this isn't a joke. It isn't some trick to set fear amongst you, although I'm sure there are plenty of elite organizations that are using it as a cover. It is a genuine bioweapon that unintentionally was released in China and has spread throughout the world. And the elite know it, but they are not ever going to share this information with the public, because to do so would be to compromise governments at the highest level. So that's that point I wanted to do, and I'm sure there'll be questions, and you know, and we'll deal with those when Becky asks those questions. Right, okay, let's move away a little bit. I wanted to talk about the BioShields. Becky and I had a very, very good talk with Dr. Jacques Bauer, and the great news is that all of you who bought your 5G BioShields through Connecting Consciousness website, you are going to receive your free sticks before the end of this month. So that's what, 2 weeks, say 3 weeks, 2 weeks and a bit, you are going to receive them. There was never a problem with that, but what happened was there was such a huge demand, and the organization didn't really appreciate just how motivated CC members are and people who listen to this show and acted on it. And so they got a deluge of orders, which of course they're happy about, but they struggled to fulfill them. The sticks that will arrive will have the Swiss cross, because they are made in Switzerland. So your new BioShield will have a CC logo on it, fantastic, and the Swiss cross made in Switzerland. We had a really good talk looking at other products that are very helpful to humanity, and see what can be brought out, maybe through us, maybe through someone else, as long as they come out into the planet and don't care. But that's great news. So I wanted you all to know, because I know that some of you have been waiting a long time, and it was just simply the volume of orders. So many people wanted them, which is great, and that will be fulfilled. The promise will be kept, and you will get those. So there was that to talk about as well. The economic situation, some people are saying, is it the reset? This is interesting, because the the release of the virus in China was not planned. It wasn't expected, but the virus was expected to be released in another country. So there would always have been a knock-on effect on the economy. So we can say in a very obtuse way that this effect on the economy was planned by a small elite group who wanted to damage the world economy, and that is what's occurring. This effect will probably run till about June or July. Then with the summer months coming, the virus will be sort of somewhat controlled. I'm sure there's a vaccine for this. The question is, who's got the vaccine? Have the white hats got the vaccine or the black hats? If the white hats have got the vaccine, then it'll be available. If the black hats have got it, it won't be available. It's as simple as that. So what I'm saying is that the economic crash, so now as bad as 1987 from Britain's point of view, it's gone beyond the Lehman Brothers crash in 2008. It's more serious. I mean, you may not even know that the major airline Boeing, the great, huge, well-known and well-loved aircraft corporation, had to draw on $13 billion yesterday to survive, because so few people are wanting to travel. So anyone in the travel industry, anyone in the social hospitality industry are in trouble, because people don't want to go and mix, they don't want to sit in an airplane. And the very fact that the big Boeing corporation had to draw on $13 billion to, you know, get through just shows the situation that we're in. So yes, it was planned. It was planned to affect the world economy. Does that mean it will have a negative effect on the election on the 3rd of November? I think that's yet to see. We'll see how that all plays out. It is not designed as part of a white hat program to rebalance the economy. I can absolutely assure you that's not the case. This attack is a black hat attack, designed for a number of things, but one of the side issues here is the Western world is taking a hammering economically. It was never designed to wipe out half the population. That's not what it was about. It was originally designed to weaken a particular country and to destroy its economic base. So we've got this difficult news on one side, yet we've got this exciting news with the BioShield and the fact that Professor Lakevich is looking at a number of things that will be very helpful in the near future. So wherever there's a difficulty, there's always something positive. This is not the end of the world. It's not even end of half the world. It is a trial, if that's the right word. It is a difficult situation which, you know, we have to face and which we will get through. I've never been a person to come before you and say that it's time to, you know, put black paint on your face, sharpen a stick, or get your bayonet and go and live rough and wild and grub around for roots and worms, because that's the level of humanity that we're going to be on. I've never believed in that. I've always believed that we came here to experience, to learn, perhaps, to be offered the opportunity to learn. And for those of us who make it through, then it's a much better place that we're going to. And I mean, that's not a religious element. It's just the way it is and the way I see it. So my message has always been positive, and I've always believed in that. But my goodness me, we are going to get a bumpy ride. And those of you who've listened to me for a long time, and thank you for doing that, you have always heard me say that the end is great, but it's a difficult journey. And this is just another difficult journey. And so I want you to stay with it, to be safe. Don't take risks. Don't think, oh, you know, it can't get me. Be sensible. But don't live in fear. Those of you who have probably stored a little bit of food away, In some countries, there's very little on the shelves at the moment, but food production will still continue. And do you remember, perhaps those who've listened to me 2 years, 3 years back, you know, I said for about 6 months, put away a month's worth or 2 months' worth of food or water, store that away, keep it safe, because you might need it. Well, I think this is when you might need it. It's not that the government of the country you live in will ban you from going out. The point is, do you actually want to go out? If the virus is quite heavy in your part of the world, do you really want to go out? Now, if you have a job, you're going to have to go and do that, unless, of course, the employer tells you to stay at home. But if you are in a lucky position where you can be at home and you have stored some food away, then maybe for that hotspot period of about 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you can be safe in your home and rely on your reserves. And then as the virus begins to die down, then you can go out again. So for those of you who are in CC and are listening to me, you know, I need and expect you to support each other. If somebody has got the virus, I don't necessarily expect you to go in and hold their hand. But what you can do is ensure that if they need anything, you can supply it. You can drop it outside the house if you don't want to go in. You can keep checking on them to make sure they're all right. This is what Connecting Consciousness is about. It's about supporting each other through times of difficulty. So I need you to do that, please. That's what we are. We're not just a service to self. Let's be preppers and hide in our underground base and to hell with everyone else. That's not what Connecting Consciousness is. So let's be mindful of old people. Let's think about our neighbours. If they're old or frail, they can't get out. What can you do to help them that doesn't put you in the line of fire, but does allow you to help them? So please do that. Okay, that's it. I'm not going to do any more. This is the most important aspect that I wanted to give you. And I will do some more updates as and when. Becky, you've been very patient. Please can I have some questions? And then I will come back to you at the end, Becky, and ask you to give a list of some of the alternative medicines or materials that might help fight the virus.
Okay. All right. I'll start with the questions.
Yes,
then.
Please.
Right. So the first question this evening is from Samantha from Greece, who says, "Dear Becky and Simon, thank you for all you do for us and humanity, and thank you for this private platform, which is MeVPro.
Right.
I am presently in Rome, in Italy. Since yesterday, we have been in lockdown, even from moving from city zone to zone. We have lost our jobs and are isolated in our homes. So my question is all the deaths of this coronavirus, could they be all people who were ill already, and maybe even people who were forced to have a flu vaccine, young and old alike, so immune system compromised already? Are they using this as a narrative to distract us with a common flu virus while the Vatican is being drained by the white hats, an Italian political swamp being drained? Meanwhile, the Chinese communist swamp also being drained, the real truth about corona spreading." That's basically the gist of the question.
Okay, fine, thank you.
So is it a smoke screen?
Right, okay, I've got it. I'm very sorry that you've lost your job. This is why in America and Britain people have been given 3 months holiday on their mortgage, because they think they realise that a large number of people temporarily are going to lose their job. They'll be rehired once the virus is dealt with, but there will be this hardship period. So I'm very sorry that you've lost your job, and thank you for writing in, because for most people who are not in Italy, they don't have a clue except for what the official newspapers are telling them. So here we are, a member of Connecting Consciousness, actually in Italy, telling us that they not only can't leave Italy, but they can't even leave the city or the town they're in. The Vatican's got its own problems. The Pope has coronavirus, so have a number of cardinals around him. And this is rather interesting, because the black hats who were behind this unintentional release in China, isn't it interesting how source works, that this virus has gone and hit and hit the Pope. What's interesting is that I've got to be very careful, I'm not too rude here, but the Pope sometimes comes across as a god, Technically, we're told that he's not a god, he's a man, but he's the right hand of God and he's very powerful. And how did he get the virus? You know, why did God let the Pope get the virus? Maybe to be a martyr, maybe the Pope will die, who knows? So, no, this isn't a subterfuge to drain the swamp of either the Vatican or the Chinese government. This was an unintentional release of a biological weapon in China, which now the elite, the negative elite, are trying to see how they can use it to their advantage. It was released in China. It was not supposed to be released in China. But nevertheless, it does offer opportunities to the black hats as to how they might work it. The white hats are full-time occupied in trying to maintain the situation and to keep the economy from tanking, from crashing. So no, this isn't some subterfuge. This is a genuine release of a weapon which is affecting everyone, white hats or black hats, and is not part of a deception like a flu virus. So I hope that answers your question. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. The next question, I'm not reading these in order, I'm just trying to work my way down to the
sure.
back of where we were before, because they all get mixed up in the thread.
Right.
But I'm working my way back. there have been a lot of questions on the coronavirus that the members have asked.
Right.
And I do think, I will go through them more closely later, but I do think that you've answered many of the questions.
Well, if there are any there that are specific from our members that haven't been addressed, I'd be happy to take those.
Some of them, they're along the lines of, do you think that this is a genuine bioweapon, or do you think that this is just the flu?
Which I've answered.
So, yeah, or do you think 5G could play a part in this?
The 5G is interesting. I certainly think the 5G is playing a part in it, but I do not... The information that I had, which I am 100% happy with, the information that I've been given, the source it came from, two sources actually, absolutely 100%. Know it to be truthful. This was a genuine bioweapon. It was not 5G. But if you can think back to a couple of podcasts ago, I did say that the negative elite were then jumping on the bandwagon and using 5G, ramping it up. So although it wasn't planned into this, it is being used. And I suppose they're doing experiments with it. They're walloping it up in some areas and knocking it down in others, and they're seeing what sort of effect they're getting. So it's not the cause of it, but it is being used to run parallel with it. That's my best answer for that.
Okay, thank you. Jackie from the USA asked a month ago, "Hi Simon, I'm wondering if you would please give an approximate timeline of where we are in this amazing transition from 3D to 5D. Additionally, how long until money and the financial system are no longer the top priority of the general population? Love and light, Jackie from New Mexico."
Well, that's a good question. New Mexico, of course, where the Roswell crash occurred. Must be nice to live there. I think that one of the reasons for a certain group to want to purchase this very nasty bioweapon was because the timeline that they are projecting is not going their way. If you are a particular group and everything's going your way, you don't rock the boat, you just let it go on, because you're looking hundreds of years, thousands of years, because that's how they look. But if the timeline is diverging, and has been diverging for a long time, and is becoming apparent, then you become desperate. That's what this small group of crazy-minded people have become, desperate. And so this is a desperate act. It is a crime against humanity, no doubt about that. And it was designed to derail stop, slow down this inexorable march of humanity towards freedom. So that's the good thing. Good thing is that, you know, we are moving towards freedom, and we shouldn't be surprised that the people who want the status quo, the people who've been here for thousands of years, different names but the same characters, trying to control the situation, are resorting to try to wipe people out or use a lot of fear tactics. Money is the ultimate key to breaking free. You know, you are thinking, well, you know, if there's an economic crash or this happens, that happens, what does that do to money? Well, it doesn't do anything. It actually makes it more powerful. You know, people are buying gold. Gold is at $1,700 an ounce, or it was yesterday. The highest it's been for goodness knows how long. So that's a form of money, isn't it? And so what we've got is a situation where the only way that's going to change is when people break their reliance to it. Now, on MeWe Pro, we've just set up within MeWe Pro a subgroup which is barter, trade, and exchange. So a platform where people who've got different skills can exchange or barter or trade one skill for another. So if you are on MeWe Pro, go on to that and see if there's a skill or a modality that someone's offering, and you've got something. So we're not going to do what other organizations have done, so they try to equate it to a pound or a dollar. So there's a guy who's an electrician, and he says, I'll come and, you know, fix your wiring for you, but, you know, I could do with, you know, I broke my leg 5 years ago and it's really given me a problem. Could you do it? Now, I'm an electrician and I charge, you know, $70 or £70 for an hour or whatever it is. And the other person says, well, actually, I only charge 25 for an hour. That's to make the mistake. That's, you're just falling down the same path. That's not what I want you to do. What I'd really like you to do is to say, I really need the new wiring in my kitchen. And the guy says, I really need my leg fixing. So I'll do your kitchen, you do my leg. No money coming into it, no equating it, no, what's that worth? How much would that be? That's not what this is about. We want to get away from that. You've asked me for a figure, I give you that figure. If humanity does not allow itself to be altered or changed or pushed off course 12 years from today, 12 years from today, there is the opportunity to not have money. Isn't that exciting? 12 years from today, if humanity does not allow itself to be pushed off course. We could do a whole section on what will take its place. But we are moving to a point where people are beginning to understand the Babylonian spell that's connected to money. They don't understand that, God bless them, but what they do understand is that money is very evil. Money is forcing them to compromise their natural loving values for something else. I don't want to see the destruction of the corporations. I don't want to see the destruction of these organizations because they employ people. What we have to have is a transitional period, not a reset. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a transition away from a capitalist system of money to a system where we actually do jobs for one another and don't expect payment in money. And one day I'll do a show to explain how that can happen. The New Age have a really lovely system. It doesn't work, but they have this vision of how it works and doesn't. But I have a vision which is practical and could work, but not at the moment because we're not in that right timeline. But when the time comes and humanity chooses that it wants to break free from this, then we have to be ready to be able to put that alternative to the world. And then humanity will decide whether it wants it or not. So 12 years, that's the choice. That's my answer. Next question, please.
Okay, thank you. Patrick from Ireland says, if time is fluid, meaning past, present and future is simultaneously, is it possible to connect with your past and future incarnations when we reincarnate?
It's okay.
When we reincarnate, does this mean we relive the same lifetimes, making different choices along the way? if we
can you stop, because there are two there really are, powerful yeah. questions there.
Okay.
And you'll finish it and you'll do really well, and then I'll say, what did you say?
Okay.
Right, okay. In one way, it's okay to think about time in a line, to think of time running from left to right. And, you know, I do this sometimes when I have a client, and I when it's relevant to do so, and I hold this up, it's just a ruler. And I say that on this planet, in this third dimensional stroke, fourth dimensional control system, we have a beginning, a middle, and an end. And that's how we see it. And that's fine, because that works here. It's not the truth, but it works as a concept. We should really understand time as your magical figure of eight, infinity, or as an elliptical, or if we're now going to bring time and space into it, into a corkscrewing effect, or sometimes as an hourglass effect with time and space separated. So without getting too much into detail, the answer is you don't have to incarnate. You can be in this lifetime and sometimes have visions of the past and the future, and sometimes you can be all of those at once, and it's a split second. Do we come back? I'm doing quite well, actually. I'm remembering all these questions. Do we come back and we go through the same? In other words, if I have a lifetime and I don't achieve what I'd hoped to achieve, do I come back in a different body, a different job or different thing, but I am faced with the same problems, and I will keep on being faced like a Groundhog Day until I break free? That's not quite true. What tends to happen is that if we think of an issue on a third dimensional plane, we shouldn't really. We should look at it as an energy. You see, when a human on this planet looks at the color green or the color blue or the color red, they're programmed to understand it as a color. They don't understand it as an energy. These are just energies that are given labels to control the population, to give the population a very easy little A to Z way of understanding things. But if we understand that everything is an energy and we just give it a label, a name. So when a person comes to this earth, they are faced with a range of energies which they interpret, and they then have to respond to. And so you could be offered different types of challenges in different lifetimes. But if you are successful, and what I mean successful, it's recognizing it's a challenge and putting love first, putting service to others first, you then don't have to go through the other challenges on that board, because you've done it. So if in five lifetimes you should do something which saves a life, but you choose not to because you put yourself first, it doesn't mean the next time you come you will have exactly the same situation to occur. You might do, but not necessarily. But another situation will come up that still challenges the service to self versus service to others. And if you make that choice, then you've moved up the notch. You've moved on. You don't need to keep going through that. You will be set higher tasks. And when you look at the agreement that you made when you came to this planet, with others, perhaps with Source, with your higher self, and when you've achieved that level, then you will go on to the next phase. Okay, that takes care of those questions. Did the guy have any more?
Right. Did I read the last bit? Was
no.
If we connected, could...
Go on.
I'm just trying to read how the sentence starts. So when we reincarnate, does this mean we really relive the same lifetimes, making different choices along the way? And if we connected to this, could this be considered our oversoul? So
no.
If they had like an awareness of this.
No. Your higher self was with you from the moment Source created you, and it is the it's not a guardian, it is you, but it is the part of you, your higher self, that is detached from the pressures or the influences of the third and the fourth dimension. In other words, in a very basic way, it's your conscience. It is the part of you that can't be corrupted. It's only this that you can allow to be corrupted. The soul card, but the higher self is this element that you bounce ideas off, or you bounce points off. And so that is the point that will say to you whether you should do this or you shouldn't. But it is actually the brain that makes the decision, unless you have given the soul the right to, you know, make the decisions above and beyond your organic brain. Thank you. Next question, please.
Thank you. I just wanted to add that this was a popular question, actually. It had 5 thumbs up and several people commenting on it. And
right. Well, in that case, then, if other people want to develop that, send those questions in. And not the same question, please.
No.
Okay. If they do that, then I'll give that priority.
Or
Becky, when she can find
it. Now, well, this is the thing. And now that we're doing this a different way and people are asking their questions in the questions for Simon's podcast, we're getting lots and lots of questions. But the great thing about it is that everybody can read everyone else's questions.
This is on
MeVe
Pro,
they're getting
Pro,
comments and thumbs up. Yeah.
Right, so, on MeVe Pro, right. So that might stop duplication then.
It will do.
Good.
I think it is.
Fantastic.
There is a question now that's related to a similar sort of thing. It's to do with incarnations. And this one is from, again, a very popular one, a question from Mila in USA, who says, many thanks to Simon and Becky for their great dedication, inspiration, education. My question is as follows. Dolores Cannon, the author of the books about Nostradamus, spoke to Nostradamus through her hypnosis subjects. She said that Nostradamus told her, you must understand you are not speaking to the dead. I am not a spirit floating around somewhere. You are speaking to me when I am alive, living in France, and writing the prophecies. I think this means that all our incarnations live at the same time, simultaneously, that our existence extends to other dimensions during our physical lives as another dimensional energy, and that everyone already exists in the astral plane. Am I correct? And can you give us more details about this?
Partly. What you haven't factored in here is the word time and space. I do not want you to imagine several Nostradamuses, one in Italy, France, Spain, all busily writing away. That's not how it works. This is quite good because of the last question. A character can exist in the physical realm in the year 1500 and then in the year 2020 can be connected via some form of psychic connection. But that character exists where he was anchored in the 1500s, but exists in the ethereal realm or the astral realm. And it has been decided by Source that certain key characters will be accessible because of their knowledge, wisdom, or guidance. So in other words, these characters are not physical upon the earth, but their consciousness is, so that they can be accessed and pass information back. Nostradamus was absolutely I say genius, but that's the wrong word, because that's the word we would give to a professor. But he was unique in his own sphere, because what he was able to do was predict with alarming accuracy many of the futures. But because he was a good man, he was also trying to warn about some of the dangers. So it's not surprising that a psychic could connect with Nostradamus, because Nostradamus was designed to be able to help and assist those who were seeking the truth.
Okay, thank you. Mila goes on to say, please can you talk a bit about time travel? Our government has constructed time machines as well as looking glass devices, or a looking glass device. If one is given permission to travel into the past, would that person be able to meet himself or herself from that period?
Total disaster if you do. That must never happen. And the American government worked that one out quite quickly. They experimented with a ship in the Second World War, and that didn't go down so well. The real practical use of the concept of time on this planet by indigenous beings could not occur until we'd been given the technology to do so. And that technology was dumped. We've already mentioned it once. New Mexico in 1947. The two spacecraft that crashed were from the Orion Empire. They were the Orion Greys, or they were a faction of the Orion Greys. And the pilot's chair, we're not going to go into detail on that. I should really do, if people wanted, a special on that. But the pilot's chair, which is remarkably different from all the other seating arrangements in a spacecraft, that was what some people call now the jump seat. That's all it is. It's an alien pilot's chair that allows jumps through time and space. So it was a device that was used, a looking glass. There were several things in the Montauk project using phased array, high digital radar, but you needed that alien technology. So time travel is possible. The difficulty is the software to control that. You can do it, but you need the software to do it. That's pretty organized now, but they were really worried and they had to mothball many of these processes, because when you do this, you create a rift in time. Now, that, sorry, that probably sounds something out of, you know, Star Trek or something, but that's the reality of it. It creates damage. And if you were to meet yourself, I don't know whether there would be a sort of an explosion or what there would be, but it's the rule of thumb for authorized projects and unauthorized projects, never ever to allow that to occur. So it was really through the 60s and 70s that these projects really took off, and then they'd sort of made enough holes in time and they stopped, officially stopped. I mean, they probably carried on, but very, very controlled way. So time travel is absolutely here with us, but it's not, the elite have not been interested in going back to see if Jesus really existed, because they know the facts. But it was, how could they manipulate the future? Or if you could manipulate the past, could you manipulate the future? But there are so many dangers and variables, and the scientists were very adamant. Normally scientists just, you know, do what they're told, but in this instance a lot of the scientists were not. They were actually really putting their lives on the line by saying to their employer, you know, this could be the end of the world. And so they won the argument by and large, and so we have a situation where time travel is possible, but you would rather use it for quantum leaping. You won't find that word very much, but travel to Mars or anywhere else through a portal. But it all started in 1947 from a circuitry technical point of view, when alien technology was deliberately dumped on Earth in 1947. The rules and the laws of the universe are often broken, but there are a few laws that cannot be broken. And one of those laws is that you cannot give a primitive race advanced technology. And that's a rule that even the reptilians had to follow, simply because if that race then make decisions, it is not their free will. And if a race of people make decisions that are not free will, then they don't whatever decisions they make don't take place, they don't happen. So that is why alien races need humans to make decisions out of their free will. And so this technology was artificially dumped on the planet Earth, knowing that the clever apes on the Earth would take all this technology and do something with it. And that's exactly what happened. Thank you. Next question.
Okay, thank you. Mariam from Tehran, Iran, says, "Hello, Simon. Hello, Becky. Hello, Andy. Hello, CC. First, a big thank you for being here on MIWI Pro. It's good. Warm and nice to really see faces and feel the true presence of everyone.
That's good.
My question is about event 201, so that's 201. Its rollout being so obviously out in the open and so close in time to the actual real event of coronavirus rollout makes me wonder what the organisers' intent was for the public to openly know and connect the dots about this. How does this benefit them? Just more panic or more subconscious harvesting? Divergence from something more deep and occult or just arrogance? Thank you. Much love to you all. Marion.
Oh, thank you very much, and well done for being on MeWe Pro. Great. You've got the gist of the answer, but I want to be more specific for you. Many years ago, I talked about the film Terminator 2 and how when Arnold lifts the young boy onto the motorbike and goes under the bridge, it says 911, and that was 10 years before 9/11. So the elite have, by law, their own law, had to tell us what their plans were. It had to do it. If they didn't, and then they created it, it wouldn't take effect. A number of projects had been run where they practiced releasing a virus, or they did war games around it, and there was this project run just a few months. I think Bill Gates had a hand in the foundation that was, you know, taking part in this, and they would map and model how the virus would work and how businesses would respond and how the governments might respond. The only difference was that it wasn't China that was supposed to have the virus. Next question.
Okay. Next question is from Ross from England, who says, sending my love to Simon.
Thank you.
My question is about the silver haze or light I have seen surrounding people who then go on to die soon after. It looks like they are faded and superimposed onto reality with an outline surrounding them. I see a silver aura cloud extending around them, and when I look at it closely, I have a premonition of how they will soon sadly die. I feel that what I'm seeing is the energy of their soul increasing in preparation for their transition to the other side. It seemed that I could have given them advice about what I had seen, and then maybe their deaths could have been averted. So would the silver light surrounding them have just gone away? And what would happen to me for getting involved with fate? Because next time I see that again, I'm going to try and help them. Thanks, Simon. One love.
Well, my main concern is for you. Not for them. My main concern for you is, how are you going to cope with that? Could be a curse. People might see it as a gift. It could be a terrible curse. How are you going to cope emotionally with that? So, you know, I really would think it would be worthwhile us speaking. It's very difficult, I know, but which country is this person in, please?
East Midlands in England.
Ah, right, it's not impossible then,
yeah.
Is it? So what I'd like you to do, please, is to get hold of your coordinator. Which coordinator would that be? Is that
Charles and Imogen.
Charles and Imogen. See how clever Becky is. She knows all of our coordinators. So I'd like you to get hold of Charles and Imogen, and Charles and Imogen will get hold of Becky. Remember, Becky is the overall coordinator. And through that channel, you can be sure to get that message responded to, and I would like to talk to you, simply because anybody who has that skill, then they're going to need supporting. You're going to need some support. Sorry, Becky, what do you want to say?
Oh, no, that's fine. This is actually, looking down, scrolling down, this is a question from over a month ago, and it has received a lot of comments and people giving, you know, also saying, asking questions and saying they have seen something similar.
Okay.
I certainly read about psychics seeing something similar. It's kind of a classic psychic thing to see, and being aware of when someone is about to, you know, coming to the end of this lifetime.
Okay.
This
well, I've not. I don't have that gift. I don't have that. But what you're seeing is a transition phase, because what has to happen, as though the physical body is left here, when the soul inhabits a physical body, it permeates through the body. You've heard me describe it as an American football shape, etc., etc., etc. That's absolutely right. But it has to, it has to be all in the body. It has to control the body. So when it's decided it's time to go, whatever that reason will be, not only does it go back like a sun imploding, you know, when the sun basically burns out of fuel, it implodes in on itself. And the soul isn't imploding, it's just drawing itself back. And the frequency that it emits through the body begins to change. That's as much information I can give you. And please do try and make contact. And I would like to support you because you have a gift which you will decide how you use it. That's not for me to tell you, but I would like to support you so that you don't have this great burden or weight on your shoulder. Because supposing you had someone who was very close to you and you saw that and your loved one is going to die, what are you going to do about it? How do you know you can stop it? You want to tell them, are they going to believe you? Do you see what I mean? So I want to be there to support you and help you. But I am not going to be there to tell you what to do with your gift. Now then, we're nearly up to the hour. Do you want to do another one? Or
just one more question.
One more question, great.
Because we have so many.
I know.
Excuse me. Okay, this last question is from Joanne, our Australian coordinator,
right,
who writes, "Hello, Simon. This is from Joanne, your Australian coordinator. I have a question about spirit guides. I have heard a lot of theories over the years. Christians say it's angels assigned to us at birth or our deceased loved ones. Some say it's our star family. Taoists say it's no one at all. Another line of thought is that we have 50 guides, 7 on each plane, and the 50th is like the master conductor who oversees us and comes in and out as needed. Or is it just our higher self guiding us through our journey? What do you think, Simon?"
Okay, that's a really good question. The Taoist answer is no, but that means your higher self. So that is you. So the Taoist answer is not no, it's your higher self. I agree with everything, all of those come into play, except the master bit, and the 50 here and the 7 here and the 25 there. No, forget that. But everything else is accurate. Your guides can be angels, and there are real angels. There are real angels. It can be an angel who, yes, you were assigned from birth, but more likely you just call out in the moment of great crisis and responds. It can be your higher self. It can be an alien, a non-human entity that has taken an interest in you. It can be deceased members of your family. It could be a friend. All of those things are guides. You could have had a lifetime in a native North American Indian body. Let's give you the date, maybe time of the problems, 1860, 1870, 1880. And you could have the spirit of the tribe. So all of them are justified and all of them are right. The question is, you as an individual have to decide whether this is a benign spirit, which is genuinely trying to help you, or whether it's something very evil that is trying to trick you. And the way to do this is look at the advice it gives you. If the advice it gives you is beneficial and good all the time for you and is the right thing, you may not want to do it, but it seems the right way, then that's a good spirit guide. If it's something that's trying to tempt you or make you kill yourself or do something like that, and that happens a lot, then that is a negative force which is trying to impact your life. So thank you for that. I haven't got a list of thank yous. I'm really sorry. As you can imagine, we've all, and I include you in this, we've all been really busy. There's a lot going on. For those of you who have been so kind to send some donations, really grateful. You read that the car broke down on the M1. I want to thank the AA guy who came out and first of all, we got off the motorway, but the AA guy that came out and fixed the car, wonderful, wonderful guy, wasn't going to take no for an answer, was going to find the problem, found the problem, fixed it. And I'm really grateful to that. And you know, there are some very good people out there. So, you know, I want to thank all those people who are, you know, in the medical services, all those who have got the battle yet ahead of them, or in other countries who've been doing all that. So those of you who've been supporting me with those donations, I'm sorry I can't read your names out. I will do when we can draw breath. So I want to thank you very much for that. And now I think I would like to ask Becky if she could just, off the top of her head, reel out some of those modalities which many have written in, many of you have written in, saying that this is working. And I've had chat with some doctors in China who've also been very helpful. So Becky, what can we suggest might be very helpful for this virus to be held off?
Where I can point people to is actually in the comments section after your last podcast, right, which was on the 23rd of February. A lot of people commented about the Thieves Blend essential oils, saying it is an absolutely excellent antiviral and antimicrobial. It's very powerful, but it's also toxic to cats. So if you've got cats, you know, don't have this around cats.
Okay.
People describe how to make it and you know where to put it, like put it on the soles of your feet and then put your socks on, and it protects it, it sort of soaks into your body, but you have to get the quantities, you know, right.
How do they get the quantities right?
People have given, there are
recipes
on how to make it and not to put it concentrated on your skin, but to blend in a base oil like sweet almond oil or something like that. People are commenting that MMS is that Jim Humble created MMS? That's kind of a hydrogen peroxide-y thing, and that's apparently amazing at curing all sorts of things, including cancer and protecting one from coronavirus. Somebody has done a compilation of a lady called Margaret from New York sent me a compilation of a lot of things that she had read in the hopes to help people, and this has gone on to Mimi Pro, I believe.
Good.
But it starts off with prevention, trying not to get it. So if you go in public, wash your hands, don't touch your face, wear disposable gloves, use hand sanitation gel with 60% plus alcohol if you can't wash your hands, or the Thieves Blend hand sanitizer. Sanitize your doorknobs, keys, light switches, phone, etc., that sort of thing. When home, the next step, the virus replicates in the nose and the throat before travelling to other parts of the body. Stop it before it spreads to the body. Rinse your throat, gargle with salt water or colloidal silver. And colloidal silver and colloidal gold were other things that were very popular as suggestions. Clean nasal passages with salt water at least twice per day, morning and evening. Drink a glass of water in the morning with one teaspoon of baking soda to alkalize the body. Viruses hate alkaline systems. They like acidic systems. And then building your immune system, chaga mushrooms. Cliff High has given a very good anecdotal story on his YouTube channel about how chaga mushrooms and COVID-19, that his herbalist had treated many patients, and those that had the chaga mushroom tea did very well, some not even getting symptoms. Good. So we're compiling stuff that people are hearing from other people who are giving out help and information.
Is there, on MeWe Pro, is it very obvious where they have to go for this?
I'm not sure, because a lot of things are everywhere.
It can, I understand.
Well, we do have a group for coronavirus.
Right.
We do have a group for healing. So people can put their information there. Another big thing that's quite easy is high doses of vitamin C.
Yes.
And zinc and D3.
Right. Good. The Chinese doctor that I spoke to, and he should know, said zinc, and these are some common cold flu remedies you can get, like lozenges that you can just suck in your throat, but look for where they contain zinc. The zinc actually really affects the virus. Also, if you're taking anything as a drink, don't take it cold. Have it lukewarm. The virus does not like warmth in a fluid. And don't have any ice cubes or any cold drinks. So high vitamin C, zinc, and please go on to MeWe Pro, find it. And what I would like is those of you who are very entrepreneurial, see if you can create on MeWe Pro a resource where we can go to. We have those, like a, you know, a coronavirus talk or what have you, but if we can start to really concentrate on the remedies rather than the likelihood of it killing you or the likelihood of it chasing you down the street when you've got your night attire on, would be much more useful to have. This is shown to be quite beneficial. So let's concentrate on that. Let's try and get that out. Right, well, we've been going for an hour, and I know you're all really busy, and we're all busy. It's lovely to, you know, reconnect with you. As you can see, I'm still here, not got the virus. Remember, when people do get the virus, it doesn't mean that they're not spiritual. It doesn't mean that, you know, that they're not what they thought they were. Generally speaking, if your body's a bit low, if you're low on energy, then you're more vulnerable. And no matter how good and how loving you are in a physical body and you can be attacked. So if those of you who get the virus, don't let anybody tell you that, oh, it was your fault because you should have been, you know, more high vibration. That's nonsense. You know, we have taken a contract to be here in these bodies, and whether it's a bee that stings you or whether it's a virus that gets you, that is the, that's what we're here for. That's what we play with. That's the physical world. The question is, once we get that, how do we deal with it? And those of you who are strong and are confident, you are much more likely to throw this thing off than those who live in fear and a low vibration. So that's what Connecting Consciousness is about, high vibration. That's what these radio shows or these podcasts are about, trying to keep us all in a high vibrational note. Yep, we've got the news, some of it's not so good, but the ultimate message here is one of hope and success. Thank you very much indeed. Lovely to speak to you all. God bless. Bye-bye.